We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, he ain't got no Hall of Fame credential, no Pro Bowls. What did you do, man? What?
Yay, yay. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy.
A.K.A. host, T.O. You see this? He's still trying to take my hey, hosting job.
Welcome to the Hatch and T.O. show. You dig?
Oh, my God.
You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, just leave in the comments, because I know right now it's called the T.O. and Hatch show, right? But if you would like for Hatch's name to be first, which I know some of you matter of fact, we got somebody right now that wants it to be the Hatch and T.O. show. And it's the guest that we're about to have on the show. Spice Adams, what'd you say there, young fella?
What'd you say there, Chuck?
That's right, so, ladies and gentlemen.
Coming up, we got
Spice Adams. But you know what? He's going to be the first guest to intro himself on our show. How about that? There it is. You heard the man, ladies and gentlemen. Anthony Spice Adams on Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. Coming up, I'm your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Hey, man. Hey, Spice, man. You see how he just be jumping on here talking about he the host, like this is his show? Yeah. Who name comes first?
It's Hatch and T.O. show. It's Hatch and T.O. show.
And Hatch. This nigga just jumps on the show talking about, oh, I'm the host, and I got my boy.
You're gosh dang right. Today you're going to be the third fiddle, because we have more entertainment than you, right? We got Spice Adams on the show today, and he way more entertaining than you is. What's up, Spice? What it do?
What's happening, man? What's going on, man?
What's up, Spice? I didn't hear your question, though, man. What's happening?
Man, nothing, man. I'm just out here trying to put some paint where it ain't, man. I'm staying out the way.
Well, that's what you're not doing. You definitely ain't staying out the way, man. Hey, man, let's get right into it, man. So we'll get into all your other extracurricular stuff in a few minutes. But I want to jump right into where we are as a country. We just had some cheering. Let me ask you, do you think it was more of a celebration for Joseph R. Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, or do you think it was more of a celebration for them removing that dude out of the White House?
That dude, 4-5.
I don't know. Maybe it was both. I don't know. I don't know how to classify it, man. But the thing is, he still had 70-something million vote for him. So, I mean, it could have went either way, to tell you the truth. But
Right. No doubt. So, yeah, we ain't going to get too political, but I just wanted to really kind of address that, because that's where we are as a country. Number one, I want to congratulate President Joseph R. Biden and Madam Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. I ain't going to ask you who you voted for or whatever. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But the fact that, you know, we are where we are and where we're trying to move as a country, what do you think moving forward with these two being elected? What do you think the first order of business is for these two to get us back to where we need to be?
Well, right now, only thing that the pressing issue right now is COVID-19. So I'm pretty sure they're going to try to do everything within their power to at least have the numbers come down, you know, as far as death and as far as getting treated and, you know, everything else. I mean, they're inheriting wilder. I mean, that's probably going to be first order of business for them, man. But I don't think they can do. It's going to be tough, man, because it's like going into a house that you got to clean up and you don't know where to begin.
The whole place is a mess.
You don't know if you need to start on the dishes, if you need to start on the laundry, if you need to start on cleaning up the walls, like disinfecting everything. Like, you don't know. Like, it's so much to clean up, man.
But right, right.
I'm excited for some new blood to be in there, and I'm excited for our first woman, the first Black woman. Like, you know, I think that's great for my daughters to see. I got three daughters, so absolutely. I think that's great for them to see, man. And I can't wait for them to, you know, start it up, man. It's going to be great.
Now, you being from Detroit, Michigan, right? Michigan played a huge part
in the fact that. Giving some acknowledgement.
Being from Detroit, right? That played a huge part in this election. Like, does that feel, you know, are you proud? Is it a proud moment to be from a state where kind of you guys were really like the trendsetters of changing, you know, this pretty much the trajectory of this election?
Yeah, it made me feel good. It made me feel good that we want to change. And it's going to be hard to change something that's so deep-rooted. And it's a shame that, you know, George Floyd and, you know, all the police brutality that has been going on, it's a shame that it had to get to that point for people to see that we need some change. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been a difficult time, man. 2020 has been a beast, man. Yeah. Been a beast. And, but I think this change is going to be good. But I'm happy to see that Michigan is able to come through, especially Detroit. Because we're a city that, you know, a lot of hardworking people, a lot of blue-collar people. And it was good to see my city representing like that.
Nice. Yeah, let's go back into, like, said, growing up in Detroit. Except, of course, you played, you know, played football, played in the NFL for, what, 8 years? Got your 8 years? Was it Nate? 9 years, right? And from, of course, you know, the NFL is one thing, college is one thing, but like that high school experience, like when did you kind of know like you were kind of geared towards going to the NFL? Was it always a dream? Was it always a goal? Or like I said, you just kind of kept getting better and bigger.
No, did you play football? I don't know. You play football? You play football, dog?
You can't be a hater all your life, T. Come on now.
I thought you were like a YouTube sensation, IG sensation.
Exactly.
He said that too.
That's why I make it so dope. Because people don't even know that I played. They like, oh, you the dude off Instagram, or you the dude off Facebook or whatever. Like, people think when I put a picture of me in a Niner uniform or me in a Bear uniform that I photoshopped.
That, yeah. Like, where'd you get that stuff?
Yeah. I think that's dope that people even got to ask. Like, I wasn't no superstar or nothing like that, but I got the job done.
You know, period.
It's only 32 teams. You know what I'm saying? So it's only 32 starters. I started a couple years, so you know what I'm saying? I'm doing my job out here, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't be T.O. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody don't want to be T.O. neither, so I ain't even trying to hear all that. Yeah,
true.
Yeah, but you know, but real talk, again, you were the second round pick, you know, coming out. So you wouldn't know just, right. You know, I said T was a third round pick, I was a seventh round pick, and we always kind of compare our journeys to, you know, big college football players going first and second round because that wasn't our path.
In high school, I had no clue. Like, I didn't even want to play football. Like, my mom made me play. And wow. I swear to you, I went to practice. Coach told me to line up at guard. I swear, I said point guard or shooting guard.
Nah.
I didn't know nothing about it. Only thing I knew is that I was coachable. Like, if they told me to block somebody or run through a brick wall, then I was going to do that. And I was blocking to the echo of the whistle. Not to the whistle, to the echo of the whistle. So, I mean, I was doing hard. And I just wanted to start and, you know, give my respect. And from that, I ended up getting a scholarship to go to Penn State. And even when I went to Penn State, I wasn't like, oh, I'm about to go to the league. I was just trying to start. I just wanted to compete. And then it got to a time, like around my junior, senior year, they was like, man, you might got a shot. So I was like, all right, let's see what happens.
I bet.
Right, right. Well, yeah, man. Yeah, we appreciate you coming on, and we want all of our listeners. I know I joke around a lot, and you know, we played a short stint there in San Francisco, but I want all of our listeners, like as you just mentioned, and you alluded to, you're not just a social media star. You're just not a comedian. You're not someone that's with all this ball of energy that everybody gets to see on all these social media platforms. As Hatch said, you were drafted in the second round. So that's a lot to be said for what you accomplished and who you are and what type of talent that you have. Because, again, I feel like anybody that was drafted in the first or second round, they were pretty legit. So I don't want our listeners for by any means to get it twisted that I may joke around. We're just joking. But this guy right here, honestly, you were the real deal. Like I said, I didn't know that the comedian, I didn't know the personality that you are now. But like I said, I enjoyed our years in San Francisco. And then obviously you transitioned and went and played some, a few years there in Chicago. But man, you kind of like me in a sense, you really didn't have, I guess, any aspirations, obviously, to play football. I think it just kind of found you or what have you. You said your mom kind of just, you know, pushed you into playing sports or what have you. What advice would you give the kids for, like, again, that had kind of somewhat of the, I guess, same mindset, or maybe not even mindset, but just had that maybe that attitude of just, okay, I'm just going to play, or I'm not going to play. I'm going to play something else, but I'm not really going to put my all into it. What would you give some advice to a lot of kids that are out there?
Yeah, I tell them the same thing I tell my son. You know, you see the finished product on TV. Like, you didn't just happen to play in the NFL or just happen to play in the NBA. They don't see the work. All they see is Steph Curry shooting from half court.
Yep,
they don't know that he shoot 1,000 times a day. They don't know the amount of work that he's putting in the weight room. They don't know the amount of work that he's looking at film. They don't know that. They don't see that. The only thing they see is him shooting threes from half court. And so I tell my son, I say, look, grades and ball, like, they go together. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. It don't work like that. So I tell him, look, the same amount of dedication that you put into your sport, your respective sport, whatever it is you want to play, you got to put that same amount of time and energy into the books.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, it'll get you out of a lot of trouble.
Yep.
It'll get you out. Yeah, I try to tell them, hey, look, man, you want to make money.
Yep.
You want to make money playing these sports. And you got to be able to read the contract. You got to be able to read the playbook. You got mm-hmm. to. So why not learn now? And then I tell them all the time, look, I know I'm your dad and I love you, but at the same time, like, I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've been where you trying to get. So I understand some of these things, and I know you figure, like, you could learn a lot on YouTube, but take it from somebody who's been there. Like, he be listening to these guys that be in their little gamer chair, mm-hmm. maybe in their apartment and all that. I'd be like, son, listen. I've been in the NCAA. I've been a student athlete. I've been a professional football player. I know what I'm talking about, dude. Like, this is the work that you got to put in. When I'm out in the garage and I'm boxing and I'm working out and all that type of stuff, I'm like, look, you might want to try to do this with me.
Yeah, do a little bit. Leave it.
You ain't just about to show up to the field and be the best thing since sliced bread. It don't work like that. You're going to get folded up.
How old is he?
Christmas tree.
How old is he now?
He's 12.
12? And
yeah, he's not as big as I was when I was, right. when I was 12. I've been the same size and height since I was 12. So
let me ask you and Hatch this, because we've had so many guests on the show, and obviously we had some fathers, we've had some mothers on here, but Hatch and Anthony, why do you think it is, or what do you think it is, that we have to continually and continuously tell young men become superstars by watching highlights? What do you think it is that, and what do we need to do as men and former athletes to get it across to not just the male athletes, but even some of the females. Mm-hmm. But it's more so we're speaking to the males because we feel like that's who we've got to us. Why we have to continue to tell these guys, look, I understand you have role models. And as Anthony said, they see the finished product. What is it going to take for them to get it? To like go put in the work and don't think that, okay, there are some shortcuts to getting to the professional ranks. If that's in the cards for you. And mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time, I guess, trying to articulate it because I feel like every time we get on the show and we have guys, you know, that have played the game, they're echoing, they're saying the same thing is that, okay, mm-hmm. guys, you got to work. You're not going to just, they're working number and countless of hours. They're doing it repetition after repetition. In order to perfect something, this is what you have to do. There are so many examples outside of us on their screen, but you've heard it from and has seen it from the Michael Jordans, the Kobe's, the LeBrons, the Steph Curry's. These are people that, again, you see it in the finished product when you turn on the TV and they're performing at the highest level and they're doing it so effortless that they think that, okay, I can just go practice maybe a couple of hours, do mm-hmm. a few dribbles here, and then it's just going to turn on for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Spice. I'll go after you. Yeah.
All right. I think as a dad, and I fall into this too, that I get to the point where like I show him and I tell him, and I take him around people that are working, and I take him up to the Bears facility. Like, talk to this guy, man. Talk to Khalil Mack. He'll tell you how hard it is. Talk to, you know, Kyle Long or Kyle Fuller. They'll tell you how hard it is. And even then, I don't think it's registering. So I think it's just like anything else. Like, you need the repetition. But I think at the same time, like, you can't give up. The same energy that it took for you to get to the NFL is the same energy that you have to pour into a young man. Like, you got to keep telling them. That's what I'm learning right now. And it's so frustrating because it's like, if I want to show him like a drill or something like that, like I show him the drill and I'm going hard and I said, bam, I'm hitting the rip move, and all that. And I'm like, dog, did you see that? He's like, yeah. So am I supposed to do this? I'm like, no, dog, you just do what I just did.
Do it like I did it.
You know what I'm saying? I want him to be as passionate too, but it's just like, I guess I got to have the patience. And I guess I gotta keep repeating myself. Like we at the point now where you tell somebody one time and that's it, and you gotta get it done. Like he's not at that stage yet. He's 12. Even when he's 13, I'm gonna have to keep repeating myself. Like, hey son, this is what it takes. Even all the way up to the point where he gets 17, 18. Maybe he'll get it in. Maybe he'll get it once he leaves. But I think I gotta be okay with being a broken record. Mm-hmm. And just keep repeating it like, dog, I'm trying to tell you it's about grades and it's about ball. Like, you can't have one without the other. I don't care how you slice it. I tell them all these stories all the time about all these great athletes that I was around that just did not have the grades. And that don't take no talent at all to take care of your business. That don't take no talent. It don't take no talent to show up on time for class. And then now, like, you got a Zoom, like, you're in a Zoom, bro.
home on Zoom.
Right. Space bar, or like the track bar, like, that's it. Like, how? Yeah. How are you having it? Like, you on Zoom, dog. So, like, I'll be on this dude so much, man. And then I got three other daughters, too, so I got to micromanage them. So, but I think you got to be okay with being a broken record.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I included you, Hatch, because like I said, we've had a number of conversations. We've trained together. You've played the game, but now you're at a stage where you're now coaching the game and you're mm-hmm. coaching these youngsters. So that's why I included you in this. So I mean, what your take is,
yeah.
or what the kids
And then too, these kids, you got to understand too, they didn't come up like me and you. Like they not from the hood. They from the suburbs. Like they privileged. Like they got everything. My son got PlayStation, Xbox, arcade games. He got his own room, got his own bathroom, like mm-hmm. all that stuff. Like we grew up, we know what government cheese tastes like.
Yeah, I know I do. I don't know if that does, but I know I do.
Hey, y'all ate? What you mean? Oh, y'all had actual food? Shoot. Sometimes you don't even have food. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's levels to it.
It's like a flat screen TV or something. Like, he wouldn't know. He don't know about bologna with the red strings, the red strip around it. So, like, these kids is privileged, man, and they don't understand, like, the struggle. They don't understand like what it's like to be in the hood. They don't understand. Man, if I heard some gunshots, like that would put me to sleep. Oh, this must be fireworks. Like, no, they're not fireworks. Like somebody's busting off. Like, dog. You don't understand that life, bro. So like a lot of them they privileged, man.
And I think it ties into really more than just being athletes. You know, I think if you're trying to be in the top 1%, you have to have that mentality of course, professional athlete. We know that's 1%, right? But again, if you're trying to be the top of whatever, you know, lane that you want to be in, from lawyer, doctor, whatever, you're going to have to put in a lot more work. And again, it's going to go back to who are those people telling you what to do during those 4, 5, maybe up to 10 years, like you said, telling them over and over and over. Because they can hear it once or twice or 20 times, but they might not be at this at the their part of their life where they can apply it. They hear it, but they don't know how to apply it. So therefore, they might not get it until the 3rd or 4th or 5th year you've been talking to them, right? I had a kid I was coaching at Long Beach Poly, Matt Corral, and I was just on him every day, right? Same thing, broken records, saying the same stuff. And I would always tell him, I go, you're going to hate me now, but you're going to love me later. And funny, like now he's in his 3rd year. He's at Ole Miss, balling out of control, you know, might be a late runner for the Heisman this year. And he just texted me last week saying, thank you. I appreciate you for always being on me and saying all those things. And again, this was 4 years ago. So, you know, you're not going to really see what you want to see when you're saying it. But again, over time, it's going to come into fruition. You might be around, you might not be around, but you have to believe that the stuff that you're feeding into these kids, that they're going to finally come around 4 or 5, maybe 10 years later, and it's going to come into fruition.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, man, again, like I said, I think Spike's hit on it too, is obviously these kids are growing up in different times where they have more access to a lot more things that obviously that are grasping their attention than to actually want to go play football or go play basketball or baseball, go outside and play and things of that nature. So yeah, I appreciate you guys, giving that little bit of sharing a little bit of information, because like I said, I've always wondered, you know, kind of like, what is it? What is it going to take? Because I'm the same way with my son. You know, I try to give him information and share things with him based on my experiences. But he would rather talk to a guy like Hatch or some of my other friends or my brother and get information versus coming to somebody that has been there at every level.
I know more than you though. So of course he would want to come to me. You know, I know more about the wide receiver position, because I not only played it, right? I was more technical sound than you. That's just a fact. I'm going to leave that for debate, though.
Well, I'm not going to put my son on the spot, but I would think that my son is very, very smart and intelligent. So he would know that I've accomplished more than you. So regardless of what you may have said, he should know. Yeah. But yeah, man. I mean, like I said, I appreciate both of you guys.
But I also want to touch a little bit more on what Spice said, because we all know, especially now at this age, right? We've played and we've got to know a lot of our counterparts who have sons, and they end up not becoming professional athletes. And people always ask me all the time, why don't it's in their body, right? The blood type is in their body that they're athletic. Right. And they're, I go, but a lot of it has to do with they just don't have that passion to get out of the situation that they're in, because the situation that they're in is a beautiful situation. When we were growing up, I was dying to get out of the situation I was in. I was like, I'm going to die or I'm going to die here. I got to get out. And so my only choice was to get out. But when you have, you know, access and money and the kids get to see so much, they're not dying to get out of that situation. So that it, you're going to have to dig a little bit deeper to really go up against that kid who is still starving, you know, in Miami or in Detroit or in Baltimore, because it's their first time going through it. So again, that's kind of, that's a thing right there. I don't know if it's ever going to come into fruition. We can see a kid, you know, in one lane. We should do a documentary on this, actually. Just have one lane where the kid has everything and see, you know, all the training, you know, parent who played in the league, and then have this kid over here who's, you know,
12, that has nothing.
Nothing.
Basically nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And then, Branch, we had this thing too called the library. Physically had to go there to get information.
Yes.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
Google, or they just tag Siri.
Everything is at their fingertips. Even video games, information, and everything. There is literally at their fingertips. But yeah, I want to just thank Spice for coming on and sharing all this knowledge. We want to get into some really kind of some of your collegiate aspirations and accomplishments. We know you played at Penn State from 99 to 2002 under the legendary
Joe Paterno.
How did you end up at Penn State, and what was it like playing for the legendary Joe Pa?
I went to Penn State to a football camp because they were recruiting upperclassmen of mine. And I knew, like, in order to get, like, the respect from him, I was like, man, I probably should go to this camp, because he asked me if I wanted to go. And I was still, like, 15, 16 or something at the time. So I asked my mom, I said, Mom, can I go to this football camp? My guy, captain of the team, asked if I wanted to go. So Mom was, like, digging in the couch, looking for the loose chains and all that. She's like, yeah, you can go. Mm-hmm. You know, that joint was, like, $300 or something back then. Yeah. So, yeah, man, she gave me the duckets, man, and I went. And when I went to the camp, dude, like, they were telling me to do stuff half speed. Man, I was going full bore on everything, like just going. And by the time the camp was over, they had offered me a scholarship. And
what?
Like, dude, I'm telling you, I knew nothing about nothing. Like, I'm going into the 10th grade. Like, all I know is that I'm coachable, I'm hungry, and I want to work. Like, that's it. Like, I barely slept. Like, every drill they wanted me to, like, do an example for, like, I was up, I was first to every station, I stayed after extra work, like, every day. And by the time camp was over, they had offered me a scholarship, and I was like, okay. They was like, you want to go meet Coach Paterno? I didn't even know who he was.
Like, this old guy, right?
My guy? Yeah, I'll meet y'all guy. Whatever, you know? Okay,
whatever. So what was so intriguing, and what surprised you most about Joe Paterno when you met him?
We talk every time I'm in his office, which was a lot back when I was at college. every time I was in his office, we never talked about football. And I was in that man's office more times than I needed to be. And he always talked about grades. He always talked about my family. He always talked about me being respected. And it was just something different about him, man, just the way he carried himself and the way that he taught us how to be young men. Like, it was always lessons about life. It was nothing about running the best route or getting the sack or getting in, like, nothing. It was all about football. He always used to say, a man with no watch doesn't respect time. We always had to be punctual. We couldn't have no chin hair, couldn't have no earrings, hats off in the building, no sagging pants, like none of that type. He was getting us ready for the real world. Like,
for life.
See, and go and work corporately somewhere. Like he was about his business, dude. And he was teaching us to be young men, which is what I respected the most about him.
So you know, playing, you're a comedian, you're a YouTuber, all that, right? You'd like to keep things funny and light. And you went to Penn State. So I would imagine the audience is going to say, is it too soon or are you ever going to do a sketch regarding Penn State and the scandal?
Oh, no, bro.
You would not touch that. Is that something you like because of Penn State or because of, you know?
No, because it's like I got kids.
Okay, yeah.
Think about like the kids that had to go through that, like all of the victims and stuff. Yeah. Like you can't make light of that situation. Like it's just, it's too much. Like it's a time and a place for jokes.
Right, and that's not to y'all, that's close to the heart.
I mean, a lot of people are gifted in their joke telling and their sketches and stuff like that, but I don't think that's something that needs to be like joked around with. Right.
So when they do something like, let's say on Saturday Night Live, when they do a sketch or something like that, you know, do you laugh at that or do you still like, hey, y'all shouldn't be touching that?
I think everybody can do whatever they want to do.
Right. But you, gotcha.
You know, it is what it is, man. But I just think like, I always think about my kids. That's why if you go to my page, you don't see any profanity or anything like that. Like anything I post on my page, you can turn it up on 10. It's office friendly.
Nice.
And so like, you know, I deal with a lot of different brands and a lot of kids that follow me. Like a lot of my son's friends, he's in the seventh grade, like they follow me on Instagram. They follow me on Twitter and all that other type of stuff. So I'm real mindful of things I do and say on my page.
Nice. Now, do you also do stand-up comedy? Have you tried like to get on stage and do stand-up comedy?
I did it one time in Chicago at the Laugh Factory.
How'd it go?
I don't really think you're that funny, to be honest. So. I'm gonna just say right now.
He is the guest, T. Golly, you got lots to do.
No, you know. Hey.
You won't be the first, you won't be the last, man. I got so many haters in the comments, man.
There you go. That means you're doing something. You ain't got haters, you ain't doing nothing, right?
What it is, T. Like people are Skip Bayless. Remember Skip used to cover San Francisco sports. You know how many times he used to dog you?
Oh my God, that's where it all started.
Still to this day, actually. Like that's 25 years strong.
Bro, that's where it all started. This dude lied to me.
He's a dog BY. He dog all of us, man. But that's it is what it is. You always gonna have a hater. Always.
Right.
No doubt. And I'm one of them right now. I don't know about your stand-up comedy. You're going to have to really, hey, you just let me know when the next show is, your next stand-up show is, because I want to be in attendance.
are you going to do another one? You going to try to get on stage again? Or that's something you kind of go, like, leave it to, like, the comedians? That's a whole different type of craft.
I'm more of a sit-down comedian, man. I don't like a stand-up, bro. Like,
They don't have that. They don't have that.
you can't get in a chair on stage? You can't do that?
You can't. Well, maybe you can try to create that, but it's called stand-up comedian. Ain't no sit-down comedians.
Hey, Be the first one.
I need to know if you got that. I need to know if you got that content, you know what I mean? To make my cheeks hurt, the back of my head hurt, that I'm laughing so hard and my stitches and I'm about to bust some stitches. That's what I need to hear.
If I really wanted to do it, I could do it.
Okay.
It's just like I found out, man, everything is just like what we retire from. All you need is the reps. It's gonna be some games you just don't get it.
Right.
There's gonna be some games that you kill in. There's gonna be some games you be like, dang, that move worked. And there's gonna be some games where you just kind of teeter totter, and there's gonna be some games where you just don't got it, and you just gotta accept it and learn from it. You can either win or you learn. And when you go to like, I might have to do a juke joint in Alabama somewhere. They might not know about Chicago Bear football. So I can't use that joke.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
right.
I guess I can't talk about that. I can't. I can only talk about things. I may have to talk about something that only people in Alabama can talk about. You know, about some greens or some yams or some sweet potato pie. Like let's kick it off right there and see. I gotta read the room.
Right.
Oh, maybe this joke may not work. Maybe I shouldn't say any. I shouldn't say anything about Auburn or something like that. Like. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to read the room. It's a lot to go to it, man. But I'm going to stick to sketches right about now.
Did you ever say something, like, hilariously funny during the game or to another player during the game? You're like, that's kind of funny. You know what I'm saying? Or you kind of didn't talk during the game?
All the time, man.
Really?
You know what you might say, how you feeling. Like, you know, if you, like, winning by a couple touchdowns or you losing. Just like, Theo, when y'all was losing to the Giants. And I was like, look at the scoreboard. Look at the scoreboard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of different stuff that go hatch, as you know, man. Like, you was out there with the Jets, man. So it gets crazy, man, especially in front of that pile, man.
Yeah.
But speaking of Strahan, this great segue, speaking of Strahan told you that he thought that you were funny enough to be on TV. So did you actually believe that? And then when was it that you actually believed that you could actually do it? And then, you know, make that transition from, you know, when did you just go from that transition? Okay, I'm a former athlete. Now I want to go do this. Somebody that I know that has transitioned from sports. Now he's into mainstream media with Good Morning America and Michael Strahan. What was it about what he told you, and did that inspire you to do what you're doing now?
I met Strahan when I was still playing at a Motorola event. And when he told me that, I was still playing football. So like, I didn't understand like where that came from. Like what I could be on TV, like talking about, like I didn't understand it. He saw something that obviously I didn't see or like I wasn't pursuing at the time. And I was just like, man, that was weird that he would say that to me. Like, I'm a nose guard. Like, one of those guys on TV, bro. Like, man. So when he said that, I was like, man, I wonder what he's talking about. And then, like, once I got released, and then the Bears had approached me about doing the show that I do here locally, I was like, man, maybe this is it. Maybe this is it, man. And, you know, the advice he gave me was kind of like, create your own lane. Like, you know, everybody got their own lane, but he was like, you know, people like me and you, we just have to create ours. Mm-hmm. You know, like we gotta find a way to showcase our talents, whether that's hosting events or whether that's hosting TV shows and, you know, acting, whatever the case may be. And, you know, he just had some great advice for me, man. And I appreciate him for that because he didn't have to say nothing to me. And I appreciate them.
What is the top of the mountain for you, like in this business? Again, like I said, T been out here going on auditions, trying to be a porn star. I've produced films here and there. So for you, is it going to be like starring in, you know, Black Panther 2 or Superman, or do you just want to, you know, do some TV things here and there? Like,
first of all, don't disrespect this man like that. Listen at the characters that you mentioned, Black Panther and Superman. Only I am the one on this screen that has a body like both of those guys.
What?
Oh. This guy right here.
He coming out of his shirt, ladies. Stop the presses. My man came out of his shirt. For y'all who can't see it, thank you, Jesus. Tell him.
Man, you got
flex
of
on the spice.
Right there.
Flex hey, on the spice.
What you say, T?
You look like, you look like Dwayne Johnson, little kid. Why you look like The Rock, little kid? for y'all that's listening right now, you definitely gotta tune in to the YouTube
y'all
the channel.
Spice done came out of his shirt.
Oh, he done came out of his shirt, people. Please go to my YouTube channel after this for this episode. It's youtube.com/Terrell Owens. Cream E. Bigums just came out of his shirt, ladies and gentlemen.
And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you have never ever seen before someone else come out of their shirt before T.O. Right, that's right. Never happened. That's never happened in the world. T.O. is always the first out of his shirt. But today, ladies and gentlemen, Spice beat him to the punch.
I can't believe my eyes. Cream E. Biggums.
Yes, sir.
Hey, ladies, please go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/TerraLawrence. Please have your popcorn ready.
And your sunglasses on.
What? Anthony Spice Adams, a.k.a. Cream E. Biggums, has come out of his shirt. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
we done seen it all. We done seen it all.
God, this is crazy. Boy, you got me. Oh, you got my head.
That's funny.
You
head
might
hot.
Be a good sit. Oh, my God. He might be right. He might be on to something. He might be a sit-down comedian because this dude got my cheeks hurting right now. He got the back of my head aching. Oh, man. But, hey, man, just let's pick up where Hat said, man, what he talked about, man. What do you think? What's the top of the mountain for you? Like I said, you've done so much. Obviously, you've accomplished a lot on the field. What will be the – I guess your greatest accomplishment, if you could do it, if anything, in this space that you're in right now?
You know what? The thing is, I don't know like what's going to be next, but I know I'm going to be ready for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as long as I'm doing some form of entertainment, like I'm good. Like that's part of my wheelhouse. Like I've been entertaining people since I was a young boy, man. You know, like being an only child, I always found myself trying to like get people to come back over to the house, whether that was cracking jokes, whether that was roasting, that I was like me just being silly. Like I always wanted to do something. So everybody would be like, oh, let's go back over to Spice House, man. You never know what he's gonna do next, man. Yeah, so then I had football. Football's form of entertainment. So when I was done with that, then I gravitated towards social media. Then I started hosting. Then I started doing, then I was on Ballers, and like all these opportunities kept coming up, man. And, but I know one thing's for certain, man, that if it's anything involving entertainment, I want to be part of it, man. So, you know, whatever that is, but I'm excited for it.
I'm going to put you on the spot then, right? You get to produce one segment on Saturday Night Live. And the segment has to be one of T.O.'s characters throughout his career. What segment would it be? Would it be the Tony Romo interview? Would it be the cheerleading popcorn thing? What would it be? Give me something from one of T.O.'s interviews or
celebrations. Touchdown celebrations.
Something.
Or what you.
You're the producer
of me.
Oh man, it's so much ammunition. So much ammunition. It could be one of T.O.'s parties. He used to invite us to.
There you go.
It could be anything. It could be a digital short. It could be something that we can do live improv. It could be in the driveway.
The driveway with the sit up joint.
In your driveway. Oh, look at me. I can do sit-ups.
That's what I said. So you said that the sit-ups he did, he should have picked something like a lot more to show your strength. Don't do sit-ups. Everybody can do sit-ups.
Like, why he ain't like get on a squat rack? Do some
right. Squats. And put like, you know, like 425 on the squat rack and be like, ah.
Oh, look at me. I have an app machine and I'm going to do press.
Right, first of all, that's
why you sound like that, too.
I don't know. I don't know why he has the little squeaky voice. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, I didn't bring a squat rack out to my driveway. Number one, I didn't have one, and then that would have required a lot of production for me to be doing all that.
It was of production. You had 25 cameras.
Hey, I am production. That's what I do. I produce cameras. You know what I mean? It's cameras.
I called them there. How did they get there? They just popped up at T.O.'s house.
T.O. called them. T.O. called them. Okay. Hey. So, T.O., you called the media there? Nobody knew that.
I'm done with you. I'm done with you, too. Hey, we want to thank us.
We ain't done.
We appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you,
everybody.
So, Spice, Spice, let's let the audience know.
Before you go, man, tell everybody what your social media, where they can find you. Hey, Spice, don't listen to T.
So Spice, this is what you tell, right? So you've been in LA. So when celebrities show up to restaurants like Katana or Katsuya or something, you're saying, ain't nobody calling me. I'm talking to Spice. So Spice, what you're telling me is if the Kardashians show up, their PR people call ahead of time so the cameras come out and they get them walking in like they didn't know they were going to be here. So you're saying since T was in the driveway, somebody must have tipped them? Is that what you're trying to say, Spice?
Yeah, it was an anonymous tip. Anonymous tip from a Smero Smullins.
It was from Terry Owens. From a 404 number, Terry Owens.
It was from Terrell.
Well, we appreciate all our fans listening. We want to thank Spice Adams for being on the show today. Where can all our listeners and followers find you? Let us know what your YouTube channel is before you get away. Let everybody know where they can find you. I know your Instagram is Spice Adams. That's S-P-I-C-E Adams, A-D-A-M-S. Where else can we find your YouTube channel? They all the others.
Everything that they want to know on TerrellOwens.com. You're going to put it, that's one of my biggest fans. Anything you want to know about me, you can find on TerrellOwens.com. Go to YouTube.com/TerrellOwens. Everything is on there. He's going to have it in his bio. That's my guy. That's my guy since 2003. 17 years.
That's what everybody don't know, man. I'm glad you mentioned, too, because I didn't know you had graced one of my parties. You know, I did. I was one of those guys, man. I'm like you, man. I never had a chance to do it growing up. You know, like you said, I wasn't the only child, but I never had a chance to have people to come over because my grandmother was strict. She wasn't having nobody over to the house. We weren't having no friends, no sleepovers, no none of that. So when I got into the league, it was just something about me that I wanted to entertain. So that's what I did.
I wanted to share your success.
Exactly, man. I loved having get together, entertaining, having parties. So yeah, man, I appreciate you letting people know because a lot of people think that, man, they think that I'm an asshole. You know what I mean?
The people who didn't get invited thought you were an asshole. Yes.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad this came up, and I do want to talk about it too because T.O. was a great teammate, dog. Like, the media portrayed him to be out like to this monster, and I'm not just saying that because he's here. Mm-hmm. But T.O., like, my rookie year, like, T.O., like, talked to my mom on the phone. Like, we playing ping pong, like, everything, dog. Like, he was cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? This dude one of the top guys in the league. Like he could have very much just been off to his own. Like, you know, wide receivers, he could have went to their meetings and kicked it with the wide receivers of the offense. Like he didn't have to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Like we had a lot of conversations and I'm risky. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm green. Like I don't know none of this type of stuff that go on in the league, man. And you know, he used to holler at me, man. He used to invite me to all this party. I wasn't a party dude, but I would go. Like he invited me. Like, yeah, I'm gonna go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was cool, man. Cool people.
That's awesome. And it's even better that you remember that 20 years later. You know what? That's when it's real. That's when you know it's real. You know?
I appreciate you. I appreciate you saying that, dog. That's real talk, man. Good luck.
All righty. Let's edit that part out.
Your teammate all here say the same thing, bro.
This is true.
Right, but I mean, that's you mentioned the guy earlier that started out following the 49ers. He started out as a beat writer in San Francisco and Skip Bayless. And again, like I said, he just kind of turned the tide, turned the table.
He used to hate on all of us, bro.
Yeah, but it got bad. It got bad with me. It was just something about me, I guess, that he saw. He thought that, okay, let me just go at this guy. And then it was just one thing after another. And then, again, everybody just kind of jumped on his bandwagon. They thought whatever he said was gospel, and then it kind of just spread. So everybody, honestly, they thought that I was this guy. And obviously, like I said, I went from one team to another. So every time that I went to a team and anything happened, they basically go, oh, well, this is remnants of what he basically did in San Francisco or the previous team. But at the end of the day, like I said, I'm human. I made mistakes, but everything wasn't my fault. So I was easily the scapegoat in some of those situations.
Can we have a celebrity boxing match with you and Skip Bayless? Would you get in the ring with Skip?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even need no training. Yeah. I wouldn't even want no training. I think just my pure, just whatever inside.
We're gonna have to put that together.
I'm gonna knock him out in like about two or three.
Say pure one more time. One more time.
Pure D, nigga. Pure D.
P-E-U-R-E. Pur.
Hey, pure D, dog.
P-E-U-R-E-D. Pure D.
Right. Boy, I'm talking about, man, I'm going to go in there with pure D, just unadulterated, just uncensored strength. I ain't even going to need no training.
Man. No, Spice, though, we appreciate you taking the time, though, coming on, chopping up with us, dog, and say you keep doing your thing. I said we're seeing you on social media. I say keep making people laugh. Keep it light. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's what the world needs right now. We need a whole bunch more people having fun and laughing, man.
Yes, sir, man. No problem, man. Appreciate y'all, man.
Yep.
No doubt.
And so you want to give out any of your social media handles or anything like that?
This is the appropriate time. So now we're for real. before you exit
Where people can find you at?
I try to keep everything consistent. Instagram, all social media at Spice Adams. For merch, you can go to shop.spiceadams.com. You can go to spiceadams.com for the website, everything. So, you know, I try to keep everything consistent.
There it is. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Anthony Spice Adams, 9-year ex-NFL veteran, now superstar comedian, YouTuber, IG, all that on your social media. Appreciate you, buddy. Love you, bro.
Hey, man. Appreciate y'all, dude.
No doubt. This is where, at the end of the show, we always have this segment. We call it our three and out segment, where we basically, we go with our producer once the guest leaves, and then, but this guest doesn't want to leave. I don't know what.
He loves the show, ladies and gentlemen.
He loves the show so much that he hasn't left. But this is the part of the show where we talk with the producers, and we kind of come up with, you know, three things that kind of stood out between me and Hatch, and even from the producers, that kind of stood out. And then we go one by one to three, and we kind of just, you know, let everybody know kind of what stood out, and then we let everybody know. But today we have in this thing, because we're going to have Spice Adams himself on the show, and we're going to give our three, and then if he has anything to say about, or, you know, any objections with what we have to come up, what we come up with, then he's very well and open to do so or say so. So Hatch, what is the first thing out of our three and out segment that kind of stood out in our conversation with our man that's sitting here live with us, Spice Adams?
I think the first thing for me personally was the when he went to the Penn State football camp as a sophomore in high school. Said, again, everybody else, you know, the coach was like just saying, go half speed, go three quarter speed. And absolutely, he went in that joint going 100 mile an hour, right? Hair on fire. And that ended up getting him his scholarship because he stood out. And I think that's a big thing, especially for kids listening. Like, hey, just when you go to camps, go to these camps and trying to show out in front of people, you go show out. You go 100 mile an hour, and that's how you're going to get your look.
Yeah. And I honestly, to add some seriousness to this, I mean, I think that's very admirable. And I think for the listeners that are paying attention to, especially a lot of the dads and moms, uncles and aunts, especially they come to us all the time like, OK, well, what can we do, you know, for our kids, our nephews, whatever, to get them to the next level or to enhance their skill set? And I think what Spice did, I think with him sharing that, I think it showed it basically told me a lot about who he is now with what he started then, because like you said, you have coaches that tell you to go half speed or what have you. Usually you're having coaches tell you go full speed.
Full speed.
They telling this guy, okay, go half speed. But he's one of these guys, he doesn't know how to turn that half speed motor on or off. He just turned that sucker full go.
All gas, no brakes.
Man, what? And then I didn't know that you could offer a kid, at least for me, because like I said, I wasn't as talented as he was at his position. I didn't know you could offer a kid a scholarship as early as 10th grade. So that just tells you, again, if you go in with no expectations, you go out there and just with no inhibitions, none whatsoever. You just go out there and, like you said, put the metal to the pedal and just perform. Then you have no idea who's watching you and who you're gonna stand out in front of. And so to have a guy like him set this example, and for the parents that are out there listening, just have your kids, push your kids to do any and everything, do it full speed and do it to the best of your ability, because you may not think it's your best, but someone else that may be watching you, they may think it's well worth it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Had no aspirations to getting a scholarship, none of that. Like, all I knew was that I was there to get better. I wanted to get better. I wanted to win a state championship. And I didn't want to waste my mama $300.
Fact. And what, and I think before we get to our second one, I think he said something just then that really, I think a lot of kids should really adopt. It's just the fact that he said that he wasn't going there just to just go there. He went there to get better. A lot of these kids, they just go to these camps, basketball, baseball, or whatever. They just go just to be with their buddies. They go to the basketball camp. They just go and they like go to these camps. They get into groups or what have you. They're hanging out with their boys and they're just laughing, kiki, la-la. They're not actually there to go and get better. I think that's something that really these kids need to really, really take notice to what he just said. And what I will reemphasize or reiterate is that go to these camps with a purpose. That's my thing. Go there with a purpose. Don't just go there just to have fun. Get out of the house. Go do something for a couple of weeks or a month or whenever, however long the camp is. Go get better. And then when the camp starts, don't just hang around your buddies. Separate yourself. Because once you leave those camps, you're going back to the dorm rooms. Y'all going to have fun. Y'all going to play all day, all night. But when you go to that court or that field or whatever the sport is, go there to get better. Go there with a purpose.
There it is. All right. Well, so number two, I think, is the stray hand conversation. How,
right.
You know, again, because nobody knows that moment where kind of the trajectory of, you know, your aspirations might change and who's planting that seed. But it seems like that seed was planted with that stray hand conversation.
Right. It was stray hand might have been the whisperer, the comedian whisperer. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so that was number two. And number three, I would think what resonated with me a lot was that he said that anytime that he went into Coach Joe Paterno's office, that they never really talked about football. They talked about life and things pertaining to what he was going to be doing outside of Penn State and outside of football.
Yeah, which is most important because, again, you know, we're only teaching the game of football through life, basically. You know what I'm saying? So that's a great note, again, for the kids and for people listening. So, yep, that's our three and out segment for Anthony Spice Adams, 9-year NFL vet, now turned comedian, actor, slash, what else are you, Spice? Give it to her. Give us everything you think you are.
Give us
a plus size model.
There it is. And don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app wherever you get your podcast.
Oh my God.
There we have it, ladies and gentlemen.
He just took his shirt off.
We got my man Spice's shirt is back off.
This is what I'm
doing. It's going crazy. It's all crazy. It's Omega Sci-Fi brand on the right arm. We see it.
I got kicked by a horse. All right, boys and girls.
Hey, man, we want to thank Spice Adams, man, for staying with us with our three and out, staying late turf with us on our three and out segment. First time ever we've had a guy, guest to stay on. Clearly, this guy has nothing to do. I think he's trying to stay on, trying to sneak in and try to create some content from our show. Very welcome. As long as you just include us. But we appreciate you sticking around. We appreciate you sticking around, man.
Hey, yes, this most thing has been kicking my butt, man. Hey, I'm not in a rush to get back to that, man. I'll tell you that.
What's that?
I said this homeschooling has been kicking my butt. I'm not in a rush to get back to that.
Ooh, man, I can't say that I envy you, but I know I haven't been able to experience that, but I know the moms of my kids, they definitely have been feeling what you're feeling. And I can't imagine what it's like, but guess what? I'm sure now, just as you and some of these other dads and moms that are participating in this homeschooling. I guarantee you guys have much appreciation for the teachers and what they do. And I guarantee you, whatever in your state, you should be pushing for these teachers to have a raise.
There it is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.